Welcome to Illumination by Modern Campus, the leading podcast focused on transformation and change in the higher education space. On today's episode, we speak with Margot Barron, who is a Google Cloud Certifications and Credential Lead at Google. Margot and podcast host Amar Adalwalia discuss the transitions to a skill-focused industry and how to take a collaborative approach to program development in order to meet workforce needs.
Margot Barron, welcome to the Illumination podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. Well, this is one of those fun conversations. We met at the One EdTech Digital Credentials Summit, where they'd put together a panel of employers and industry leaders talking a little bit about digital credentialing, micro-credentialing, and sort of the changing world of learning development and employee upskilling and reskilling. You were part of that panel, and this is sort of a fun recorded opportunity for us to continue the conversation.
I'm so excited. That discussion was amazing, and I'm so glad that One EdTech put that discussion together, because I think this is what is going to lead the generation of micro-credentials into the next evolution.
Absolutely. And, you know, before we dive in, I am just curious, you know, you're kind of living in this world as well. How often do you have an opportunity to interact with higher ed leaders around sort of credentialing, credential policy, those kinds of topics?
I would say in my role as the lead for the credentialing program for Google Cloud, we have specific partner audiences. So we have audience leads that lead our future workforce, consumer partners. And so what was so interesting for us is that we are very close to the product, which is Google Cloud Credentials. And so we don't always have the opportunity to talk to the higher ed employers outside of the teams that directly represent these audiences. And so once in a while, we do get the opportunity, like I did, to talk at conferences, jump on a quick call with them, just so that we are ensuring that they're best represented by our programs and products. But really what we're hearing is the same across the board, regardless of who the audience is. And so it was so nice to talk to both employers, higher ed institutions, where they were so eager, where they said, we see this problem, but they were so excited to understand more of what a micro-credential is. And I think that's the exciting part, that at least in tech, we at Google Cloud are a little further along the way. And it was interesting to hear their perspective of, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We really are seeking IBM, Google Cloud, AWS, the big time players to be the ones that define what the road looks like. And most of the time, yes, we're innovative in our space, but you typically look for, in a certification industry, you look for the standardized body that tells you the rules and regulations of what makes something important. And so I think that's both the detriment, but the most exciting part of the micro-credentialing space.
Absolutely. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about how we got to where we are. I'm curious about your perspective. Why are micro-credentials capturing so much attention, both from higher ed leaders and from employers and industry leaders?
Yeah, definitely. I do think that we have seen a transition in the labor market, and traditionally it was very job role focused. And what we're seeing is one that is skills focused. And what that means is that since 2015, we're seeing that the need for skills in jobs, those skills have changed about 25%. And we see that that's expected to double by 2027. What's happening is that even people that are not changing jobs, organizations that are not changing businesses, the needs of the customers and the industries that they're in are changing so rapidly that the skills that were relevant in both the job and business are going to be outdated. And so we're just moving at such a fast-paced world that we are developing a skills-forward approach. And traditionally, you have certifications, so job role certifications, and certifications typically will validate that a candidate has the minimal qualifications to perform a job role. And we are living in such a dynamic world right now that job roles are evolving at such a fast pace that you as a program manager at one company is going to look completely different, maybe even within 10 different program manager roles within the same company, across industries, at different verticals. And so micro-credentials have really risen as this more customized, flexible verification of skills that you can piece together that isn't going to take as long as a traditional certification or degree when we're talking about the higher ed space would, because the degree, the certification, those might be changed twice a year with small tweaks, but the candidate is really looking for bite-sized learning, bite-sized credentialing that they can then showcase and apply in the real world.
Absolutely. And during the panel, you made a really important point, which is that you're seeing micro-credentials as a specific channel for folks who are kind of underserved by traditional educational ecosystems or mechanisms to be able to capture the same opportunities as folks that are able to use those institutions or able to access some of those societal tools. Could you expand a little bit on that, just in terms of how you're seeing people leveraging micro-credentials, whether they're offered, you know, by higher ed institutions specifically, or, you know, by other providers across the educational learning ecosystem, kind of like you guys, like IBM, like Coursera, to really sort of change and advance their careers?
Definitely. So I would say that when it comes to credentials, people want to look at the brand recognition, the integrity of that credential. And the unfortunate thing about traditional credentials, and when I think traditional, I think a four-year degree, a job role certification, these come with prerequisites. So the four-year degree requires that you go to college for 4 years. A traditional job role certification typically requires that you have a few years of business acumen and experience in the role. And to most, accessibility is an issue. They either don't have the time, they don't have the money, or their situation is more dynamic than it was years ago when we set up these institutions and defined these traditional credentials. And so I would say that the benefit we can even start at the institution level. So we have at Google Cloud programs that will put curriculums together where we have designed content. It's mixed with these smaller credentials. So you have courses, skill badges, and then it leads you to a certification. And so it's a combination of all of these smaller milestones in the curriculum, and it is already set to go. So institutions that don't really know what they're doing can take a hand from the experts, from our teams that say, hey, this will get individuals ready for specific job roles and will actually prepare them for that certification. So if one of the obstacles to the institution was they don't have the staff on hand that could actually map out the curriculum, a lot of the big companies already have prepackaged solutions that institutions can implement. And then from the student, the learner perspective, I mean, we have to think that one of two things. So if you go through one of these programs through us, you are achieving industry recognized credentials along the way through our Google Cloud skill badges. And then you do get a voucher, 50% voucher for a student for certifications. And so I think it's taking time that you don't need in the field. It's reducing the price restrictions. And if you so choose that certification really isn't for you, you can then continue your journey through accomplishing our skill badges.
So, and you know, here's one sticking point that, you know, we've, as a publication, we've been talking about micro-credentialing for coming in on a decade now. And I think one of the pieces of pushback that we consistently get, especially as the concept makes its way into newer parts of the institution. So, you know, I think originally micro-credentialing was really something that continuing ed units focused on. Now we're starting to see more of sort of the traditional academic part of the institution looking at them more closely. The pushback that keeps coming is, you know, employers understand what a degree is, but they don't understand what a micro-credential is. While at the same time, we're seeing more and more employers developing and launching their own micro-credentialing initiatives. So as you look at the space, how does that critique or pushback strike you around sort of employers not understanding the nature or purpose of micro-credentials?
Yeah, definitely. I think we are so flexible with so many skills and ways that we interpret. I mean, I first see the biggest opportunity is there being some universal, or even from the employer perspective, what is the mapping of your credentials? So every credential is going to test a different competency or a skill set. And I think that's what's needed, is that we're not going to have a one universal language when it comes to what a micro-credential means and looks like. Even if you look at the certification space, the way that one organization is certifying is completely different than the other. Some proctor, some are multiple choice, some allow continuing education. And so I think if you look behind the door, you're actually going to be surprised of how many variations and flows and different types there are within the traditional certification space. And so I think with micro-credentials, we could have a scale. And so at Google Cloud, we're trying to tackle this very question where we have a spectrum of the skills and the assessment and the validity in which the statement that we will give if a candidate completes something. And so, for example, course completions on, let's say, Coursera. If you complete a course, there's typically a series of videos with 5 multiple choice questions. That range of competency is going to be different than if you take one of our skill badge quests on our platform, Google Cloud Skills Boost, powered by Quick Labs. And the magic of Quick Labs is it's a hands-on lab platform. So you get real-world instances of the Google Cloud platform where you can actually click through and understand business objectives, and it uses activity tracking, and it's all scenario-based. So that is going to test a different competency and a level of validity than a multiple choice question about a video. And so I think we just need to better understand, or maybe have degrees of what micro-credentials mean, just like we do in college, where if you take a class, some are worth 1 credit, some are worth 4 credits. And I think we're working towards a world where we could have some trust of the bodies that are creating these badges, these micro-credentials. But I do think that we are a few years away from that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so, so important that we start taking steps to, you know, recognize the quality and the value of credentials that are offered outside of the traditional higher ed environment. I'm so glad you touched on that, because this is, it feels like one of those gaps in terms of, you know, how we think about and recognize learning that's more based in ego than it is maybe on actual learning outcomes or actual evidence of knowledge. One thing I'm curious about, and obviously, you know, our publication is largely oriented towards higher ed leaders, and that tends to be the audience that listens to this podcast as well. So as you think about the way that post-secondary institutions are approaching education, training, credentialing, what's some advice that you might have around how higher ed institutions could better align their credentials with sort of the needs of employers and industry, and maybe even more broadly can sort of shift their own cultures to be, more aligned with what employers are doing around employee upskilling and reskilling?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say that someone on the panel from the Digital Credentialing Summit said it best, and she said, as a higher ed institution, my job isn't to invent this space or reinvent the wheel. We are already seeing companies far bigger than us doing it. So why would we try to create these standards ourselves? And I was like, well, very well said. And what she meant by that is there are teams, and again, I will fall back to what I know, at Google. And so we have teams among teams that their entire job is supported and is there to help the future workforce. Mm-hmm. We have made that specifically within Google a priority audience member. And we know, as we have seen around the world, that we need to train the up and coming if we're going to survive in this very, very rapidly changing industry. And so we have teams dedicated to that. And then we have teams dedicated to understanding the up and coming job roles. We have teams dedicated to making the appropriate credentials to map the competencies within those job roles. And so at Google, we say the only constant is change. And I think higher ed institutions would do very well with kind of adopting this mentality that what worked 50 years ago isn't going to work now, and what works now isn't going to work 50 years from now. And so if we're able to apply the same standards, because without the standards and without the validity, then we really don't have true talent in the marketplace. But if we can shift our mindset to be open to assessing skills in a new way, then I think institutions will be able to adopt what we have been trying to push into the marketplace. And you can, instead of competing, you can work with. And like I had mentioned, we have the Grow with Google career certificates. We have our Google Cloud Ready curriculum that's packaged into different universities dependent on job roles. Mm-hmm. So I would almost say work with the large institutions that have been doing this for a while. And we have different strings to pull. We have different strengths. And of course, we love the higher institutions that give feedback, that are saying, well, we're seeing this. So yeah, that would probably be my advice.
Fair enough. And that's, you know, it's interesting you raised that point, right? Collaboration versus competition. Because that's, you know what? That's one of those things where I think we keep getting stuck, right? Is this idea that when we look at offerings that exist outside of the formal post-secondary ecosystem, they look to us like competition, whereas you see a fair number of community colleges and then some universities as well, finding ways to integrate that expertise and programming into the offerings that are offered on campus and finding ways to create like more greater context around them. So to your mind, I mean, what are some characteristics of more meaningful partnerships between industry and higher ed, especially when it comes to this more creative approach to programming and learning?
Yeah, so I would say that most companies will have packaged solutions that higher education can bring into their curriculum right away. I would say that there are teams, again, at each of these organizations that are going to be dedicated to higher ed, the future workforce, that they would rally behind. I mean, innovation is something that we're always looking for as well. So NYU, their MS in cybersecurity, they did something really cool where they allowed alumni and current students that are in their program to achieve a NYU-specific cybersecurity partner badge. And what they did was they looked at the 10 largest cybersecurity companies that their students were going to graduate and then go work for. And again, this was all out of the classroom opportunities, but they packaged it for their students and said, hey, if you're interested in gaining real world experience, then choose one of the 9 partners at your discretion. And if you complete the 5 to 20 hours worth of learning and assessments, then we will award you with an NYU specific badge. And what I think is really cool with that is it's just mapping content that a degree is not enough these days. And if an institution is already going through the work of saying, hey, we have flagged these job roles as being important, we have flagged this is the competency and skills that are needed in those job roles, and here are our industry recognized credentials that we have impact studies on either helping get a job, increasing salary, I think it's a no-brainer of you can incorporate it in the classroom, you can map it out of the classroom and really give students the opportunity to choose their own path. I think what's amazing is there's not a one-fit solution. And so whatever works best within the organization or the higher ed institution, there are a million different possibilities. So I think they have to be bought in. But once they're bought in, there's not a one-fits-all solution. So again, there's not just one. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that there's so many varietals of industries and companies that have industry-recognized credentials that they could incorporate, again, in or outside of the classroom.
Absolutely. Well, Margo, I mean, that pretty much does it on my end. And hopefully this winds up being the first conversation of many, because this is one of those topics that I think is going to continue to evolve and transform as the space sort of evolves and transforms around us. Just in closing, you're based in Asheville, North Carolina. What's your favorite restaurant? Where do you like to go to eat?
So Asheville is my favorite city, and there is a beautiful French-American restaurant called Rendezvous. That's pretty typical that on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, when my husband and I don't want to cook, we'll go over there. They have just amazing atmosphere, amazing food, and they have bocce ball. So that's always fun to play while you're waiting on your food.
That's awesome. Margo, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with us today. I really do appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
This podcast is made possible by a partnership between Modern Campus and The Evolution. The Modern Campus Engagement Platform powers solutions for non-traditional student management, web content management, catalog and curriculum management, student engagement and development, conversational text messaging, career pathways, and campus maps and virtual tours. The result? Innovative institutions can create learner-to-earner life cycle that engages modern learners for life, while providing modern administrators with the tools needed to streamline workflows and drive high efficiency. To learn more and to find out how to modernize your campus, visit moderncampus.com. That's moderncampus.com.